Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And get ready, start your engines, because it's time for the Daytona 500. Yes, this is a very popular sport in America. It's a big car race. Now, this makes me think about lots of kinds of races. Well, what other races have you seen? What kinds of races do you like to watch? Nathaniel, what kinds of races do you like to watch?
Well, of course, there are a lot of different kinds of races, but one that I like to watch quite a bit is called Wipeout. It's a show in America, and it's just kind of a funny obstacle course where people have to do strange things as quickly as they can.
That sounds fun. An obstacle course. Carolyn, what kinds of races do you like?
Well, a race that I experienced last year is called Velodrome, and it's a very exciting type of bicycle race where the bicycles they use have no brakes.
Wow, that actually sounds really dangerous. I enjoy watching different kinds of races. I would like to watch a rat race. Yes, watching little mice race each other. That might be kind of fun. But right now we're going to talk about something a lot bigger than rat races, the Daytona 500. Let's get started.
The Daytona 500. Get ready for one of America's biggest racing events. On this day in 1948, William France and his friends officially formed NASCAR, the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. Over 200,000 fans will gather this coming Sunday in Daytona Beach, Florida, to watch the 55th Daytona 500, NASCAR's biggest racing event. Visitors will hear roaring engines, smell smoking tires, and witness high-speed crashes. Top drivers compete in this 500-mile-long race, reaching speeds of nearly 200 miles per hour.
Hello, listeners. This is your word lady, Ellen. Do you like car racing? If so, today we'll be learning about one of racing's biggest races, the Daytona 500. But before we learn more, let's hear the vocabulary for the day. Witness. Witness is a verb. I witnessed a car accident while I was standing in front of my house. Neck and neck. Neck and neck is an idiom. The two runners are neck and neck. Either one of them could win the race. Install. Install is a verb. Jeff is going to install some extra lights in his bedroom. Hook. Hook is a verb. Susie became hooked on bubble milk tea after she first tried it in Taiwan. Let's rev our engines and start our article.
Get ready for one of America's biggest racing events. I like that phrase there. Get ready for something. Nathaniel and Carolyn, I'm sure there are lots of things in life to get ready for. I usually have to get ready for a test. If I have a test coming up, I have to get ready for that test by studying. What other things can you get ready for, Carolyn?
Well, I have to get ready for work every day. So, you know, I have to wake up and brush my teeth and get dressed, and that's getting ready for my day.
Getting ready for your day. What about you, Nathaniel? What kinds of things do you like to get ready for, to prepare well for?
Well, I always make sure to get ready for my run. I don't want to go out and run without stretching some, and of course, wearing the right clothes and having my iPod. All of those things make for a good run.
That sounds like a good run. You got to get ready for these things. And this is our first sentence here. Get ready for one of America's biggest racing events, because it is coming up very soon. So get ready. Are you prepared? Good. Of course, I know you're prepared to study with this article today. You have your magazine open. You are ready and prepared. On this day in 1948, William France and his friends officially formed NASCAR, the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. That is a mouthful. Okay, let's take that one little bit at a time. National Association. What is national, Carolyn?
Well, if something is national, then it is recognized by the nation, the whole country. Mm-hmm. So this was not just a local group. This was a national, countrywide recognized race.
All right. So the National Association or group of people, the cooperation for stock car auto racing. Nathaniel, can you tell me a little bit about stock cars?
Well, a stock car is a car that a company produces normally. Now, today, the cars used in NASCAR are designed for racing. And this is, of course, auto racing, automobile racing, NASCAR.
NASCAR. So, of course, NASCAR for short, that's how most people remember it. And right now, we're going to learn a little bit about the history of NASCAR. Steve and Ken are waiting for us in the information cloud.
Stock car racing, one of America's most popular spectator sports, was born in the 1920s during a peculiar time in American history known as Prohibition. So, what was prohibited?
Well, during Prohibition, it was prohibited or illegal to make, sell, or transport alcohol. But with most things illegal, if there's money to be made, there will be people willing to break the law to make it.
And so people were paid large amounts of money to transport homemade whiskey. According to one source, one 120-gallon whiskey delivery could make a driver $200, which was a huge sum of money back then.
Naturally, the law-breaking drivers needed cars that would go faster than the police cars chasing them. So they took to delivering their liquor in small, fast cars modified for high speeds and good handling.
After Prohibition ended in 1933, drivers still wanted to evade the law, which wanted to tax the alcohol. The fearless drivers loved the thrill of speeding around so much
that in the 1940s, they began racing their modified cars against each other for fun and profit. And that's how NASCAR was born.
真的课文讲到，在 1948年 ，William France 和他的朋友正式成立了 NASCAR。其实 NASCAR 的起源要追溯到更早期的 Prohibition。Prohibition 就是 prohibit 禁止的名词，用在美国历史上 ，Prohibition 指的就是在 1920年代实施的。 禁酒令，但禁止归禁止，还是会有人想喝酒，因此人们就开始走私酒。那为了要避免被警察抓到，走私酒的人呢，就开始将汽车改装成跑车。后来在1933年，美国政府取消了禁酒令，但是开始对酒类饮料课税，因此呢，人们还是继续用改装车走私酒，也开始彼此较劲比赛。 后来就演变成非正式的赛车，直到1948年NASCAR的诞生。这就是今天的Info Cloud。我们下次云端见。Steve
and Ken, thank you so much. That is indeed very interesting information about the history of NASCAR. As you could see, there's these words "stock car" in this title for NASCAR. Carolyn, can you tell me a little bit about the difference, maybe between the way stock cars were and the way they are now?
Well, when NASCAR originally started, you had to drive a stock car. Mm-hmm. If there were any changes made to your vehicle, then you would be disqualified from the race. Now, today's NASCARs are made specifically for racing, and they can go pretty fast, as we will find out in our article.
That's right. Okay, so now you can use cars that are made for racing, not just any old stock car that is unchanged. While we continue in our lesson, over 200,000 fans will gather this coming Sunday in Daytona Beach. I like that phrase, this coming something. Nathaniel, what does that mean, this coming Sunday?
If we say this coming Sunday, we mean the Sunday that is coming up next. When we say this Sunday in English, we also mean the same thing, the Sunday that is coming next. If you say next Sunday, it might be the Sunday after the one that is coming next.
All right. So if it's Saturday, you're talking about this Sunday, that is tomorrow. Or if it's Wednesday, you're talking about this coming Sunday, it's in the future. You could say this last Sunday for the Sunday in the past, the last Sunday. Well, continuing with our lesson, the coming Sunday in Daytona Beach, Florida, people will watch the 55th Daytona 500, NASCAR's biggest racing event. Carolyn, what do we find out about this?
Well, visitors will hear roaring engines, smell smoking tires, and witness high-speed crashes. So it sounds like a very exciting race to attend.
It does, and we see this word, it's an exciting word from our word bank. It is witness. If you witness something, that means you see it, you experience it. And usually, you could just use the word see. Oh, I saw an event. But with the word witness, it's kind of like it's a rare event. It's not usual. You can witness something. What kinds of things might you witness, Nathaniel?
Well, I might say that I'll witness to the fact that he crossed the finish line first. Witness can also be a noun. I am a witness of this fact. But you can also say, I can witness to the fact as a verb.
That's right. You can witness to something. Well, let's continue. Top drivers compete in this 500-mile-long race, reaching speeds of nearly 200 miles per hour. That is super fast. Carolyn, I am sure you can drive. Have you ever driven over 200 miles per hour?
I have most certainly not driven over 200 miles per hour. And right now, I think it's time to join Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Michelle。 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们来看 stock car 这个名词。 stock 在这里是当形容词，意思是指陈旧的或老套的，所以 stock car 是指用旧车改装的赛车。例如 hundreds of people gathered at the finish line waiting for the champion of the stock car race， 几百名观众在终点等候着拼装车比赛的冠军。接下来我们看的是 witness 这个动词。 witness 是指见证、目击或者是亲眼看到。例如 several people witnessed the accident， 几位民众目睹了这场车祸。 witness 也可以当名词，是指证人或目击者。例如 the witness identified the suspect at the police station， 证人在警局指认了这名嫌犯。
Today we are talking about NASCAR, National Association Stock Car Auto Racing, which maybe you have not heard before, but it's very popular in the United States. And one of its most famous races is the Daytona 500, a 500-mile race for cars in Daytona, Florida. Let's learn more about this race in this reading.
The Daytona 500. A close finish. In 1959, in the first Daytona 500, three cars were neck and neck as they flew past the checkered flag. Since race officials didn't have their own camera, they asked reporters for photos to determine the winner. The photos showed that Lee Petty had won the race by a few feet. He was declared the winner 3 days after the race. Ever since, cameras have been installed at the finish line. Gaining popularity. The race was first broadcast on national TV in 1979, giving many Americans their first exposure to stock car racing. Thousands of new fans quickly became hooked on this fast, loud, and dangerous sport. The 55th Daytona 500 is about to start, Drivers and fans alike are eager to hear the race's famous starting line, "Gentlemen, start your engines."
Well, we start here with an interesting story about the first Daytona 500. In 1959, in the first Daytona 500, three cars were neck and neck as they flew past the checkered flag. Carolyn, I didn't know cars had necks.
Well, I don't think they do. Here, it's just a phrase, neck and neck, and it is one of our key word phrases here. And it doesn't mean that the cars have necks.
Okay.
It means that they were very close together. Not close in distance, but racing along the track, you couldn't tell who was in front. Now, what are some other times that you might use this phrase, neck and neck, Nathaniel?
Well, if you were talking about a race, you could probably say something like, they were neck and neck for the whole race until the last lap when one of them slowed down.
All right, so you could talk about physical races where people are racing against each other, or rats, of course. I've never seen a rat race, but they could be neck and neck as well. Or you could also talk about competition between maybe some companies. Some companies are neck and neck, like, but you never know who's going to win. You might be neck and neck in that way as well.
But if you wanted to know what a checkered flag looked like, it's something like this. This pattern is called checkered, so this is a checkered flag.
Ah, yes. And that flag that Nathaniel is holding is something that we use here in the studio at Studio Classroom to let us know when to start our lesson. But, Carolyn, when do you use the checkered flag in a Daytona 500 race? At the beginning or at the end?
Well, for racing, you see the checkered flag at the end of the race, and it is used to show that the race is over and someone has crossed the finish line.
The race is over. With a checkered flag, you can know that. Well, let's continue with our article. Since race officials didn't have their own camera, they asked reporters for photos to determine the winner. I was talking with Carolyn about this earlier. Is there a special term for this at the end of a race when there's a camera?
Well, because they needed pictures, they needed photos, it can be called a photo finish. Because finish, the end of a race, and you need pictures to see who won because everyone is too close. They were neck and neck. It was a photo finish.
A photo finish. Well, Nathaniel, what did these photos show?
They showed that Lee Petty had won the race by a few feet. That is a very close race. Definitely a photo finish.
Definitely a photo finish, and you couldn't tell that, especially with the speeds that these cars were racing at. He won by only a few feet. He was declared the winner 3 days after the race. That's a good phrase that you might need to know for a race. Someone has declared the winner. That means everyone now knows this person is the winner. Well, Carolyn, how does our article continue?
It says, ever since, cameras have been installed at the finish line. So that would be very helpful. They don't have to ask reporters to please give them photos. They now have their own cameras at the finish line to take these pictures.
That's right. Well, we see these words ever since at the beginning there. Let's take a look at those. They're extra words I want to talk about. Ever since. That means an event happened and it changed something for the future. So ever since, cameras have been installed at the finish line. I could also say, I've loved that restaurant ever since you took me there the first time. What we see here in this sentence, ever since, cameras have been installed at the finish line. Carolyn, can you tell us about that word bank word, installed?
Yes, so here we have installed, and that means to put something in place.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to install a new sink in your kitchen because you have a leak. What's another way you can use the word installed, Nathaniel?
Well, you could say that your car has been installed with a new engine, since we're talking about car racing. Let's go on with our article. Gaining popularity is the next heading, and after that it says, the race was first broadcast on national TV in 1979, giving many Americans their first exposure to stock car racing. And I think Liz has something to say about that sentence in the Grammar Gym.
Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. We've been talking about the Daytona 500 and how the first broadcast was in 1979, giving many Americans their first exposure to stock car racing. That's our grammar tip sentence. Our focus is on the phrase, first exposure to. It is a more formal way to say first time to experience. So today's sentence just means the broadcast in 1979 gave many Americans their first opportunity to experience stock car racing. Let's have a look at some more example sentences. Sarah's concert last night was her first exposure to performing in public. Or, Jason's first exposure to cross-cultural communication was when he went on a study abroad program. Friends, if you have a copy of this month's magazine, be sure to check out today's grammar tip section for more examples. That's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
Thank you, Liz. While continuing, we find thousands of new fans quickly became hooked on this fast, loud, and dangerous sport. Well, let's take a look at that word bank word. It is hooked. What are you hooked on? If something hooks you, that means it grabs your attention. Maybe you become addicted. People become addicted to this fast, loud, and dangerous sport. What kinds of things do people become hooked on, Carolyn?
Well, you could be hooked on a type of music. Mm-hmm. Maybe you hear a popular song on the radio and you are hooked. You can't stop listening to it.
Nathaniel, what are you hooked to?
Well, there are some TV shows I'm pretty hooked on to. Mm-hmm. I really want to know what's going to happen next.
All right. Well, I would love to get hooked on something like surfing. I think it's a great sport. It's a lot of fun to go out to the beach anyway. It would be fun to get hooked on that sport. We continue. The 55th Daytona 500 is about to start. Drivers and fans alike are eager to hear the race's famous starting line, "Gentlemen, start your engines." And we see this word here in that sentence, alike. Now you see this that it says drivers and fans alike. That means they're making a similarity between drivers and fans. How else could you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, you could say that men and women alike enjoy watching NASCAR. Now, let's take some time to zoom over to the language lab.
All right, 接下来我们看的是 neck and neck 这个成语。neck 是指脖子，所以 neck and neck 延伸出来的意思就是指并驾齐驱。例如 the two horses were running neck and neck during the race. 这两匹马在比赛中并驾齐驱。或者是 the two candidates were neck and neck during the election campaign. 这两位候选人在竞选中并驾齐驱。所以我们看的是 hook 这个动词，我们学过 hook 可以指缠住，但是在这里的 hook 是指勾住，使动弹不得。所以课文中提到的 become hooked on something 是指被某件事情吸引住了，或者是迷住了。例如 I got hooked on the music of this famous band， 我迷上了这个乐团的音乐。And let's get back to our teachers。
Well, NASCAR is a popular sport in America, but Gabe, do you think that it takes much skill to drive a race car?
Are you serious? Yeah, I think it takes a lot of skill to drive a car that fast. What about you, Carolyn?
I think that race car driving, you need to be in good shape and you need to know how to handle your vehicle properly so that you don't get into a wreck. It takes a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we thank you for joining us here on Studio Classroom and learning about NASCAR racing today. And we hope to see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.
Dangerous?
The voice of the deaf and dumb man who couldn't hear or speak sounded angry. It filled the boys with fear, It was the voice of Injun Joe.
Why can't you be a little less afraid? It's not more dangerous than the job we did together up the river.
There was silence for a minute, and then Injun Joe spoke again.
All right. You go back up the river to your own town and wait there. I'm not afraid to go once more into this town to make a plan for the dangerous job, as you call it. Just now, we must decide what to do with the stuff we hid here. It isn't a good place for it.
He went across to the fireplace and pulled up one of the stones under it. A hole appeared, and he took a bag from it. He took about $20 from it for himself and the same amount for the other man. Then he looked around.
I'll bury it deep in that corner,
he said, and he began to dig a hole with his big knife. The boys watched. They forgot their fear as they thought,
this is the best kind of treasure hunting. Now we don't have to guess where to dig.
Injun Joe's knife struck something.
Hello,
he said.
What is it?
Said his friend.
Bit of wood. No, it's a box, I think. Ah, I've broken a hole in the top.
He put his hand in through the hole and brought something out.
It's money.
The two men looked at the handful of coins. They were gold. Injun Joe's friend said,
we'll soon get the box up. I saw two spades among the weeds in that other corner.
He ran and got the boy's spades. Injun Joe took one of the spades, looked at it, shook his head in doubt, said something to himself, and then began to dig with it. The man soon got the box up and opened it.